Okay, I want to segue over while we're talking about therapy of metastatic disease in the patient who has an ER-positive tumor to the patient who has an ER-positive, HER2-positive tumor, and specifically the issue of the tandem data that was presented initially in Europe in the fall and then at San Antonio by John Mackey in December. And we have a case in here that's kind of a tandem-type case. So this case is a 60-year-old woman who was diagnosed 3 years previously with an ER-PR HER2-positive, triple-positive breast cancer, and she receives AC followed by tamoxifen, which she's been on now for 3 years. And this is pre-adjuvant trastuzumab, so she hasn't had any anti-HER2 therapy. So now while on the tamoxifen, she presents with moderately symptomatic bone mets, no other sites of disease on staging. And what we saw with this is that by far the most common choice for this was the combination of endocrine therapy, mostly AIs, but endocrine therapy plus trastuzumab. 2/3 of the investigators, more than half of the docs in practice, say they would use both. About a quarter of the investigators saying they would use endocrine therapy alone. I think that number would have been a lot higher 6 months or before the tandem data came out. And a similar, a little bit slightly smaller number, again, using endocrine therapy alone from private practice. Can you talk about how you would approach this situation, what the tandem trial showed, and whether that impacted the way you approach these patients?
Sure. So the tandem trial was a prospective randomized trial. It looked at anastrozole alone versus anastrozole plus trastuzumab in women with ER-positive, HER2 overexpressing metastatic breast cancer. And the short version of the results are that the combination of anastrozole plus trastuzumab had higher rates of response and a longer time to progression with no difference in overall survival at the current analysis. So that study is very reminiscent, and the results are very reminiscent of the single agent versus combination chemotherapy studies that have been reported. The combination chemotherapy studies generally show higher rates of response, longer time to progression, no difference in overall survival or very small differences in overall survival, and greater toxicity. With the AIs plus trastuzumab, the toxicity experience is really quite modest with the combination therapy, and so differences in toxicity, I think, are much less of a concern to me in this context than with the cytotoxic agents. But I think without a survival difference, without randomized trials that really look at sequential hormonal therapy followed by trastuzumab or trastuzumab followed by hormonal therapy versus the combination, it's really hard to be dogmatic in terms of which strategy is preferred. In a woman, though, like this, who's at least moderately symptomatic, I think getting a good response with more confidence is important. And this is a woman where I personally, my practice pattern would be typically to use an AI in combination with trastuzumab. And I do that again because the additive toxicity for most women is usually quite minimal.
Have you been doing that for a while?
I've been doing that for a while.
Because I don't think that's that common in investigators. I think maybe the more symptomatic the patient is, perhaps, but my sense was that people were, granted, the toxicity is not worse, but the patient has to come in for the office for an intravenous injection. Some people talked about separating out what was working. I think that before tandem, a lot of people would use endocrine therapy alone. And it's kind of interesting that you see so much of this going on right now. What about chemotherapy? How do you approach the same situation if the patient, let's say, was completely asymptomatic? Still use both?
Well, I think if the patient is asymptomatic, then the rationale is much less compelling for using combination therapy. And in that situation, I would typically start with a hormonal agent alone and hold the trastuzumab for use down the road, most likely in combination with cytotoxic therapy.
You know, another thing I've heard people talk about, we don't see it reflected that much in this survey, but I've heard investigators talk about is the issue of the question of survival advantage and the concept of starting chemotherapy and trastuzumab up front with the thought that we know that it's sort of an interesting kind of logic that there was a survival benefit seen in the chemo plus or minus trastuzumab studies and that, quote, we might lose that opportunity if we wait too far down the line. And here we see only about 10% of people taking that strategy. Although, interestingly, in practice, about 11% of the docs use endocrine therapy, chemotherapy, and trastuzumab altogether. What about chemotherapy?
Well, I would tend to delay chemotherapy in this situation. The studies looking at trastuzumab that show a survival benefit are studies that have included primarily hormone-responsive disease only after the application of hormonal therapy. So the woman with an ER/PR-positive breast cancer who had not received hormonal therapy was excluded from most of those studies. So the survival advantage that was seen, you could argue, was seen despite the fact that the women with hormone-responsive disease had initially been treated with a single-agent hormone, or presumably a sequence of single-agent hormones. So I would not use chemotherapy early on, especially in the asymptomatic woman with a hormone-responsive tumor. I think that in this context, the more difficult issue is whether or not the use of single-agent trastuzumab would be reasonable.
Without endocrine therapy?
Without endocrine therapy. Hmm. Now, I would typically, in such a woman, use endocrine therapy first, but Chuck Vogel has data and Melody Coblet have data looking at single-agent trastuzumab with rates of response that are not too bad, and again, associated with really minimal toxicity.